I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, this is Andy here. Wow, sound a bit posh when I'm without Tomo. Just a quick message. This isn't an ad. This isn't an ACAST ad or anything like that. I'm not trying to flog you any beer or anything. It's just a quick message to let you guys know that this will be the final episode of our first series. We are going to be taking a short break. It should be 1 or 2 weeks, 2 weeks max. Both myself and Tomo are not behind the camera, in front of the camera, doing a little bit of work. So scheduling's been a little bit hard for the podcast. We do thank you very much for bearing with us, though. This is a great episode. If you do miss us, there is a load of episodes that you can go and binge on. There's some great guests that we've already recorded with that you may not have heard, or you may not even know the guest. So give them a go. Go and have a listen. If you're listening to this because you're a boxing fan, and obviously you're a fan of Dave, go and give some of our other ones a listen. Just take a pick. They're all just as equally as funny, equally as entertaining. And we will be back soon with our second series, where we will be chatting with some more great actors, musicians, sports people, like David himself. Some big names lined up, some Hollywood stars lined up. Won't say who yet. And also some more guests that you would normally see me and Tomo talking to. Bit of a cryptic one there. So enjoy the episode, and we will see you in series two. 2 weeks max. Thanks, guys.
We have set up a Patreon. We have set up a Patreon.
Patreon, however you want to say it.
A Patreon. We have set up a Patreon.
What that does is that just helps us get things like train tickets, petrol for you. And it helps us get to bigger and better guests. We'll be doing cool little things on there, like
nice little giveaways.
You can put in your questions, and then we can talk to you. Please go on to
www.patreon.com/overratedeverything.
Another week. We've had some great feedback on Kel Spellman's.
Amazing feedback, guys, and we're glad you enjoyed it. As much as we did, and thank you for, you know, subscribing. Thank you for reviewing, like we asked at the end of that podcast. It's please do like, please subscribe, please review. I sound like a fucking YouTuber. like my little girl did that.
What?
Yesterday, I was getting ready. Remember, I said a couple podcasts back on Sally's that Phoebe wants to. She said, "Oh, I'll start making YouTube videos." So I was just bathed in that. I was drying her hair in a mirror. I was brushing it. And she was talking to herself in the mirror, but going, "Hey guys, da 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 da."
Oh, really?
And then when I finished brushing her hair, she went, "Like and subscribe."
Oh my God.
She's four.
She sounds like you.
She's four.
Maybe I'm going to get her in to host the rest of these.
I mean, if I can't make it 1 week,
we'll always get Phoebe.
Phoebe would be a great replacement.
Anyway, it's not about us. This Monday.
You were excited about this one.
This was brilliant for me. And we touched on how me and David Allen,
who's the guest?
Who is our guest? How we first met. Well, not really met, but sort of spoke online.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
Didn't you offer to fight him at a service
station? I wanted to fight him, yeah. I straight away said, I won't ruin the story for you, but yeah, I was drunk and I messaged him on Instagram, and straight away we just clicked as like, I think we're pretty good mates. I think we will be after this. And just his character, anybody who knows boxing knows who David Allen is and who he is and what he's about. And, you know, he says it himself that he can sort of comprehend how he can get away with a lot of things that he says, but yeah, he does.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think I say it like instantly, like when you meet him, you can tell he does.
Yeah,
because he's one of them big guys with a big smile, and you're like, he's get away with
BFG, really, isn't he? He's like, and some of the things that he does in his weigh-ins and what the things that he wears, and yeah, I was super excited about having him on.
Yeah.
And just meeting him as well, I was a bit like,
had you not met him before? Like,
he's a no, never met him.
Oh,
no.
Right, okay. I thought you had met.
No.
So you never went to the service station, you shit house.
Yeah.
No, we didn't. You were sat there.
Yeah, I was waiting. I've been there for 2 weeks.
Yeah, let's get ready to. You can't say the real word, can you?
What, the rumble?
Yeah, you're not allowed to say that. He's trademarked it.
Who has?
Whoever says that.
Oh, bullshit.
Yeah, no. If you say it now, this podcast will get taken down.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, don't say it. Let's get ready to fight.
Let's get ready to rack it. Yeah.
Rack it.
But yeah, no, we
sound like fucking PJ again, Duncan now. Go on.
David invited us again, very, very kindly, around to his house in Doncaster, where he still lives. He's very, very, he's such a family man and such a. People think, oh, heavyweight boxer, he's just a bruiser, bro. He's such a sensitive bloke, and I learned that today. And yeah, I mean, his subject, again, we went off as you lot know that we do.
Yeah. We don't even need to say it anymore, do we? It's like, we just go on tangents.
His subject was change, which I thought, like, I don't know, the change in one way systems in a city or changing your phone. But we went into a lot deeper in terms of how people grow up and what happens in their lives and things that need to change and things that unnecessarily change.
Yeah.
But again, I won't ruin anything for you. So we'll just let you crack on with this episode.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Leave a review. Tell your mates. And as a bit of a tip, don't offer heavyweight boxers out online.
Yeah.
Because they do see these messages. I never thought I'd see it.
Yeah, I mean, that's I mean, the listeners should know that. Listeners should 100% know never to offer a fight to a
I'll fight him anyway. I'll fight him for charity. I don't care.
Oh, you've said it now.
Yeah.
Exactly. Could you? I mean, would that be allowed?
Would you just swing everything at that guy and he would not even move?
No.
Not
he's
even
very big.
Is it? Yeah.
He's very big.
He's like famously can take a beating. Like he's got. Yeah. He's made of steel. He just won't move. But anyway, I'm not fighting him.
Okay.
Enjoy the episode.
With what's his name?
David Allen.
Yeah, but the Doncaster.
Oh, the Doncaster De La Hoya.
The Doncaster De La Hoya.
Papi De La Hoya, he calls himself.
Papi De La Hoya.
He's got a lot of the white rhino. Enjoy.
Here he is.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Doncaster De La Hoya.
If you want, that'd right. be nice.
yeah, we're rolling.
We're here with the Doncaster De La Hoya, Dave Allen.
How you doing, mate? You all right?
Yeah, good, spot on. Cool. Thanks for getting us in. Anytime. I know you've been busy.
Yeah, thank you.
You was at, what was you doing on the weekend? You went to the fight, didn't you?
It was a Kelbrook fight in Sheffield.
Yeah.
Went to... did lots of things over the weekend.
Yeah. Talk us through your weekend. What did you get up to?
I left to go to Sheffield for 9:30. I was in Sheffield at 9:30. I was in the McGill Hotel at 9:30. Saturday morning. Had an interesting day.
Yeah.
A more interesting evening.
Yeah.
A very interesting night.
Yeah. But you've just been saying to us off pre-recording that you don't drink, do you?
I don't drink,
You've never drank.
No, so...
She's good.
Everything I do...
you can't blame it on anything.
You no. mean to do it.
Everything I do is planned.
Yeah.
and I carry them out with no shame.
Fair enough.
But it's good, like, say if you're on a night out, I can wake up in the morning and go, oh, God, I was a right dickhead last night, but I was pissed, so it makes it all right. You've got no excuse, have you?
Yeah, all them women, you know. I just,
yeah, well...
You know what I mean? Like, it's just from being a disgusting man, not from drink. I've been there purposely. You know? There we go.
Bloody hell. So how come you don't drink? Just not fancied it, really?
You know, my dad liked to drink as a kid.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know what? It's just not something I want to do or be.
And by not... drink, do you mean like you don't get drunk or you literally you go in the pub and you have like
I don't drink alcohol at all, no I it's my thing now, it's become my thing. When I was younger, people were like, oh, you don't drink, but now it's like people go, that's really cool, actually, you know,
it is,
like,
yeah,
not
that's
many,
it
not many people do it, so I'm 26 now, I've never needed a drink, so I'm just not going to start now.
There's yeah no don't point, start really. Now there's no, no point
yeah that's
no.
it mate you, you like you're 26, like when I was 26 it was like a couple of years ago, that's when I kind of started not drinking as much because I was a little kid and that, so your drinking days are done now anyway.
Yeah, you've but missed out on all the fun.
So what about like when it is like, because obviously Christmas has like just been and that, by the time this goes out it will have been and stuff, but round Christmas, New Year's and that, does it get annoying? Like,
not at all, you know, I don't need a drink.
Yeah.
You know, I'm that kind of character, like...
I mean, you've had us in stitches for the past half an hour.
Yeah, yeah. I don't need a drink, I'm just... A lot of people think I am drunk. You know, when I'm at the box on Saturday, everyone thought I was drunk.
Yeah.
Just because of what I'm like.
That's good, that.
Yeah, it's fun that you can do it without the booze. Like,
They're all like, have you had a drink? I'm like, no. They're like, are you sure? I'm like, honestly, I've not had a drink at all.
I don't drink. Yeah, no, it's great. Fun. And the thing is like, say, like, if everyone else is drinking as well, like, it don't matter if you are, like, you know, like you said at the top of the thing, you're talking about, like, if you're being a bit of a tit, it don't matter, because everyone else is drunk anyway, so they'll just go,
you can get away.
Oh, yeah, they'll even not remember, or they'll just go, oh, yeah, that's just David, that's just
That's what the old say is going, fucking hell,
is
that it again?
So if you're who you are sober, imagine what you'd be like with a fucking bottle of vodka in you.
Well, we also discussed that, and my answer... we're not going to repeat now. It's
the same
thing, but
we can't repeat that.
Yeah.
We've had to have a word with David pre-podcast.
But which is one of the reasons that I wanted to get you on. I remember, again, under the influence of alcohol, I was sat there one night with a mate of mine who was a boxer, and he got talking about you. And obviously I knew you was through the sport. I didn't realise how much of a character you was. And I messaged you on Instagram, didn't I?
You did, yeah.
Yeah.
So, shit myself, didn't I?
So I was a bit...
What do you mean, shit yourself? What?
I was a bit pissed off. I wasn't actually hammered. I was just sat at mine up drinking a bottle of gin with my mate and Charles. And I just messaged him on Instagram just saying... I said, oi, what was it? Something along the lines of, oi, knobhead, let's have a fight.
Right, okay. To a boxer?
To a boxer, not
fucking
just
clever,
not just a
boy.
Boxer, like a fucking heavyweight boxer. and I messaged him saying, let's have a scrap, me and you.
M180 Services.
At the M180
which
Services.
Really tickled me. For some reason, that really tickled me, but I read it and like, I shit myself at first.
What, have you not seen him in real
life? I realised who it was and I thought, yeah, I'm all right.
I'll fucking sort your tooth right out, you cunt.
Yeah. But it was nice, though, because... I was a big fan of the This Is England series, so it was a nice surprise, you know, and here we are, so it was good.
Yeah.
I get a lot of that, though. I get a lot of messages, a lot of jokey messages, let's fight. I just reply the same thing.
Let's go,
I'll fucking toss you off.
Does that mean something different in Doncaster than it does in Manchester?
It means I'm going to get hold of the cock and I'm going to fucking shake it about a bit. They don't. Some of them don't know how to take it, I think, but some of them take it well, so it's all
but
right.
But it's in your character, though, isn't it? It's who you are. But I think that's quality about you, and I think that's why the fans have got like a brilliant connection with you, because you are so real, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's good because, like you say, it's just me being me, and that's the nice thing. I don't have to pretend anything, so it's nice. Nah. I'm not having to fake anything.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
It should be hard work trying to keep it up.
Do you reckon faking it, do you reckon not faking it and being who you are and being real and not caring about things like that, do you reckon that could hinder your career? Because for us, as actors, we can't really do that. I know, Tomo, you're really quite straightforward and quite real, but you've had a bit of a telling off in the past on Twitter and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've had a bollocking.
I try not to, just because, you know, I've done things in the past working for, like, big social media companies and that, where I'm like, you can see how that can fuck someone up, basically. Do you think...
And you've got kids as well, so it's like you've got a little bit more to worry about.
Yeah, yeah. You can be, you know, there's me who I am with my mates, and then there's me who I am sort of my kind of out there on social media. Yeah. And that. Do you reckon, like, would as a boxer, does that matter as much as it does, say, an actor?
People were saying to me the other day, it was funny, someone said to me the other day, they said, any other boxer who carries on the way you do would be in trouble. I'm just being me.
You look like you've got quite a... boyish cat, you look like you'd get away with murder, like just like the little smile there, like if you just smile at someone the right way, like, all right, okay, he's a big
But I think you know what, in boxing, a few boxers recently with social media, they've come a cropper with saying things and it's harmed the career, but I don't try and antagonize anyone or be disrespectful.
But yeah, I think it's just part of your character, and I think everyone who knows who you are through the sport like adore that about you. You're not fake. You don't say, oh, I spend fucking 10 hours a day in the gym. You know, you openly say in your interviews and stuff that you know you could train harder, but you just What's training like for you at the minute? Are you, because you were just saying that Eddie gets you to fight quite a lot, doesn't he?
Can I just say, what's training like at the minute? David's got a massive Disney cup of coffee and a cup of tea in front of him and 3 packets of crisps. So training's going all right, isn't it?
downtime at the minute.
You've only just had a fight, haven't you, not long ago?
Yeah, I had a fight not long ago. It was a bit of a rough fight, a bit of time off.
Scrap, wasn't it?
You know, I think I've got to a point now where, like, we're looking at the big fights. I've fight 2 or 3 times. Hopefully more than 2 or 3. I like to fight all the time.
Yeah.
But probably got 2 years of my career left. These 2 years, I can set myself up for life.
You can change,
I have to work again, so... I will put the work in.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, these 3 packets of crisps, I'm not going to eat them all.
It's Christmas.
They're here for decorative purposes.
Like the tree.
Yeah, so... I'm not a great trainer. I hate exercise.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. I really don't like
exercise
it.
Exercise is in what? Like lifting weights and anything. Like running? But you love boxing. You enjoy boxing.
I love boxing.
Which is probably the best exercise, isn't it?
I love fighting.
Yeah.
But, and another thing is, I've got older... boxing's quite dangerous.
Of course it is, yeah.
Just a bit.
You two all know, because we're a similar age, we're similar people, I think.
Yeah.
So when you're 20 and 21, you don't think you're going to see 50 years old. I don't know if you felt like that, but when you're 20, 21...
The way I drink booze and that, I often think
so
that.
I'm not sure you're going to make it. But you just think, I'm never going to be 50, 60 year old. So why I never used to worry about injuries and slurring speech and CTE and stuff like that, but... Now I think, you know, I'm 26, I want to have kids one day, I might actually get to 50 and 60.
Yeah, so I mean, chances are you
might actually have kids.
Yeah, there's a good chance I will. I might have kids, I might already have some. So I just need to, so now I'm being more sensible, you know, I need to train properly.
And it's part, I think it's part of growing up as well, isn't it? So Dave's subject was change.
Yeah.
Which brings us into what you've just been saying. I mean,
perfectly, actually.
Yeah, I think the way people grow up, I think you do just sort of one day you just think, actually, the way I've been living my life is not for me.
Yeah.
And you do sort of make lifestyle changes, which is what you've just said there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think it'll be a brilliant thing for you and your mentality and for the sport and for the fans as well. I think it'll be good to see, like, Tyson Fury's change around at the minute. It's been a fucking amazing. And he's a good friend of yours, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he's been struggling really bad over the years.
Yeah, didn't he come out? Didn't he after his battle? Battle. After his fight, he's just said, and you kind of, he was dedicating it to sort of mental health, yeah, and because a couple of years ago, you know, there was a lot of people kind of slagging him off, really. Oh, fucking hell, Tyson Fury's done this, he's lost his mind and that. And from the outside looking in, it looked that way. And you know, I never judge a book by his cover, man. That he was struggling with mental health problems, yeah, as a lot of us do. So yeah, I mean, you know Tyson then,
yeah, quite well. Yeah, he's a special man, Tyson. He's you know, a lot of people just see him as the boxer. You know, so I know him a little bit better than that.
Yeah,
he's a character. He's a proper character.
He's from around my way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He
fights out of Withenshaw, doesn't he? Or Sale sometimes, I think he said, does. But yeah, no, he's
he is a special character. And like we're saying with change, like, you know what? Would you want to change something like life? Because that life's probably hard. Like, people say, oh, people who drink and do whatever else, take recreational drugs and whatever, probably having a pretty fucking good time, to be honest.
Well, it's like you say, when you're younger, you do kind of sort of see yourself as invincible. You're like, well, yeah, it don't matter, like, I can do what I want because I might see 50, I might not, or yeah, I've not got kids, I've not got worries, so I guess not. I guess people who are kind of into that stuff are into it until, I guess, it comes a certain state, like yourself, when you go, right, okay, either I'm hammering this too much now, it's becoming a problem, or right, okay, like, I've met a girl, I want to settle down, or I've met a fella, I want to settle down, I want to have kids, and you know, like that kind of change, it can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing. So change is a really good,
yeah, it's a brilliant subject, man.
It's such a, you know, because it does have such either really positive things about it, or really negative. You know, it depends how you look at it.
The only change I like is the one that you did that I don't see. You know,
like subtle change.
Yeah, I wish I was 14 forever. You know, like I wish I was just go back to 40. When I was 14, life was good. You know, I was in school.
But I bet at the time, I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel exactly the same. Like, I wish I was 14, 15 again, because it was mint life at school. But then when you're 14, 15, you think, fucking hate school. I wish I could get out, get a job, or do my own thing.
I love school.
Did you just say, how was you in school?
There's a little mug there with Lewis Tomlinson on there.
Yeah, One Direction.
I used to sit behind him in class.
Oh, yeah.
And some bird used to wank me off in class.
No, but was you training for boxing at a young age?
No, my first fight, I was 18.
Your first professional fight?
Amateur fight.
Amateur?
Yeah, I didn't start boxing until long after I left school.
Yeah.
When I was at school, you know, I was a soft kid, really. I was quite a soft kid.
Mm. But you were big, you were big.
I weren't big, I was only small. I was really small kid, so I was about 15, 16. But I was a football player. I was a good athlete, always a good athlete.
Yeah.
But at school, I was pissed school, but, you know, I was quite intelligent. I was in high sets, I was intelligent, but I went to get my GCSE results and I just assumed I was going to do, you know, sixth form.
Mm.
I was going to pass another 2 years away in education, just another 2 years of doing nothing. I didn't want to get a job off. If I don't get GCSEs, you got to go straight to work at 16. I turned up my GCSE results, thought, you know what, I want to get about 10 Cs and a few Bs and Cs. I got 3 GCSEs.
Wow.
Oh, right,
okay. So I said to my teacher, I said, Mr. Taylor, the PE teacher, I said, so what happens now? Like, can I go sixth form? And then you got no chance of getting sixth form. I said, so what do I do?
And so then, you knocked him out.
And I went, what do I do now? And he went, well, I don't know. I said, like, what? No, what do I do? And like, I just remember that I was pure panic in the dinner hall. In the dinner hall, looking at him like, what on earth am I going to do now? Like, and
because you'd worked so hard at school to get your things.
No, the thing is, I've not worked hard. I've not done a thing. I spent my history lessons getting wanked off. My geography lessons, me and Lewis Tomlinson never turned up. We used to play tennis. We had double P before and we weren't going. When we turned up, teacher said, you boys go straight out, don't come in.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know what? I pissed away the last 5 years of my life. And now I can't ruin the next two. So I had to go and, so I started boxing then.
So that's a big, massive thing to think about at that age, isn't it?
Yeah, because I was 16 and a half when I left school and I had nothing at all. Like, then that's why I started boxing, because I had nothing else to do.
So what is it that made you go, what, you know, I guess we've got it as actors, there's something that makes you go, well, I don't want to walk into a job 9 to 5 and earn, do you know, what was it that made you go, right, fuck that call centre or whatever, and getting, because that's a big step. Getting in a fucking boxing ring is
mate. Yeah, it's not easy. Was it just quick before you said that? Did you get in a lot of like fights at school?
No. I had one or two.
Yeah.
And,
so it's not an anger thing why you was.
No, I'm not an angry person. No. I'm not really a fighter, really. No. I'm not a fighter. I'm not aggressive in any which way or anything.
Because there's a lot of discipline in boxing.
Yeah, like I'm not that way inclined. There's no aggression in me.
Yeah.
There's nothing, no aggression whatsoever. So, my dad was a professional fighter, so I just panicked and I didn't realise at the time how hard it would be to become a professional boxer. So, I just thought, you know what, I'll do is I'll be a professional boxer and make loads of money.
Fair enough.
Make loads of money.
And over time, like, I've achieved what I wanted to do, but
yeah.
I didn't realise how hard it would be, even though like I look back and think, oh, it was easy.
So what is it about change then that you just think is, because like you say, it can be a good thing, you know.
Change, natural change is good. I don't like
forced.
I don't like forced change because I don't think it's for nothing good can come out of forced change or nothing good. Forced change is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would be a definition of forced change? Being forced to leave school with three GCSEs and not be able to carry on.
No, not that change is in anything. I don't like. Like I said, I wish I was 14 again.
Yeah.
I don't like the fact that I'm 26. Don't like the change. My change in age.
Yeah.
Don't like waking up every day feeling a day older. Just change. I like routine. I like everything. I like to do the same thing. I do the same things every day. Which is not a lot, as you can see. I just don't like change. I like everything to be the same. I like having the same friends I had as a kid.
Which is good, it's important.
Yeah. Everything's the same.
Especially in what you do as well. Like, it's important to keep the same
people. Got the same clothes on I had on yesterday.
Yeah, the same pants, but you're not wearing any socks.
I set my boxes inside out.
Oh, man.
You know what? I just don't like...
Unnecessary change.
Yeah, I don't like change. I just wish I could go back to probably 2007 and just live that day.
Yeah.
One day from there, the rest of my life, I'd just...
Do you not think you'd get bored of it, though? Like?
No, I... change, I think it scares me more than anything.
Yeah, it unsettles me.
Yeah, I don't like thinking of the future because you just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who's going to leave you, you don't know what.
But in a sense, I find that exciting as well, though. I think, like what you've just been saying, if you get back into training, you've got a couple of big fights lined up with Eddie Hearn and... I think that could be the best thing that could happen. Do you know what I mean? Like you said, it can be life changing stuff, which is exciting. And I think only you can like change your own future.
Yeah, that change is good. I'm talking the kind of change like. Do you ever watch My Wife and Kids?
Yeah, My Wife and Kids.
You know the change, Claire.
Yeah.
Do you like it?
That would change the cast or something.
You know, Life on Mars.
Yeah.
To ashes. Got John Sim.
I didn't like it
just
as that much.
The same. That's
Life on Mars is brilliant as well.
I just don't like change.
Like changing your phone. You know, you get paid new change. You've got the same iPhone. That's
the iPhone 5S came out. I don't know, 4 years ago.
Probably more. Yeah.
But the good thing about that 16 though,
phones every single time.
So you've just not changed your phone since.
But the good thing with that is, like, when you do get a new iPhone, it's basically the same phone. It's just in a different skin, isn't it? Like
they're too big now.
Yeah, you're not a fan of the big ones.
You know what? I don't wear a watch. I don't have a wallet.
Yeah, I'm like that. I'm not a big watch.
Just a random zip pocket.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, I just don't like it.
Yeah, but then that is very like you say. That's something you'd have done at 14, I guess. Like I only got a wallet when I started. Like got a bank card and shit like that. Like,
I ain't got a wallet.
I lose bank cards all the time because I don't have a wallet. I'd have a Nokia 3210 if I could receive pictures of tits on it. Do you know what I mean? Like. I'm not interested in
it. I love that the only reason that you don't have it. Oh, that's brilliant.
That's a great quote, actually.
That's definitely quote. Going on Earth. Yeah, that's
like,
great.
Yeah. But I know.
Forget Snake. So, I mean, because I'm not a big fan of any kind of change, really. Like, you know, I am very much like you. Like, in my head, I go, oh, I wish I was like 14, 15 again. And I wish I could get up every morning and, you know, go to school and that. Even though at the time, like, I hated school. Like, I enjoyed, obviously, lunchtime. But I enjoyed having a laugh with my mates and shit like that. But, like, the lessons and that, it just bored me. But I don't know, because I think that, but then I go, well, actually, I don't know, because since I was 14, and probably like yourself, David, like, you've done a lot, like, yeah, with your fighting career and stuff like that. So then, you know, there's all that to think of. Like, I obviously think, oh, well, I've got my little girl now and my wife, and I didn't have them at 14. Like, I knew my wife, but, like, we were just mates then. And it's, you know, all that graft again. I think if I could go back to that day, would I actually do it? Do you reckon you would? If someone literally came to you now with a DeLorean time machine and was like, get in, 88 miles per hour, bam, you're back in 2007, would you get in?
Probably not.
No.
Probably not. As much as I said I'd like to go back there, probably not.
Yeah, because it's one of them...
The graph you put in that time. Could I be asked to go for the
last 11
years?
And would you reckon you do, if you did?
Oh, I'd change a lot of things.
Would you change?
Yeah, a lot of things. Yeah, a lot of things, you know. Mm.
Not too much, though.
Not too much, but little things. Because
it makes you you're doing fucking...
Little things I wouldn't have done. Oh. That big bird gave me chlamydia in 2010. Oh. She'd be out. She'd be gone.
Yeah, would you have gone round to, is it Louis Tomlinson's house? Is it Louis Tomlinson?
Yeah.
Locked his door and you gone to the X Factor audition?
You know what? Back in the day, before my voice broke, I was a singer.
Did you have a good voice?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember singing with him in IT one day, and you got a good voice, and I was like, well, you on. We used to tell him he used to sing in assembly, like, you know what, get a miss, mate. You know?
Yeah, Dan Bobble with it.
He was a really nice kid, and he always was, and he was a good footballer.
Yeah.
But I never thought he'd make it as a singer.
Imagine him. Crazy, imagine him having a cup with your face.
Imagine me on the. I just wouldn't fit in there. I'm there, 6'4", nearly 27, with a nice looking boy, and just me sat on the end.
Yeah, no, it's like change happens to everyone, doesn't it? Every day, like changing cars and shit like that. How do you feel about like your every day to day shit?
Yeah, you know, I was watching Price is Right a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And
the Price is Right.
Televisions and fridges were more expensive in the '90s than they are today.
Yeah, of course, because they were
new on the market.
Yeah, and they were kind of less mass produced, I guess. Yeah. I remember my mum bought us. It was about 2006, it was when I left school, and my mum bought like one of the first like flat screen TVs that was out. It was like a Sony Bravia, but it had like a massive back on it still. It was like massive, and that was like, I'm sure she paid about $2,000 for it.
Yeah.
And for like a 48 inch telly. Nowadays you can pick up a 48 inch telly for like £200, can't you?
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Especially on Black Friday, you get everything cheap on Black Friday.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Black Friday, is it soon?
It's just been on it, like end of November, I think.
Next year, then.
Yeah.
You
know, the biggest thing about change that scares me is grandparents.
Your grandparents?
Yeah, you know, like you see people grow old.
Yeah.
That's a change.
And your grandparents still about?
Yeah, you know, one of them died before I was born, but the rest are all alive, you know, 87, 85, 83, and you just think, you know what, that's going to be a big change. That's the biggest change. I think in my life, that's the biggest change to come.
Yeah,
grandparents passing away and stuff. Yeah. You know,
are you quite close to them?
Yeah, very. Yeah. Very. Yeah. I still live in Doncaster, essentially, so I can still see my nan.
Really?
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, good on you, mate.
So I lived in Leeds for a few years. I came back and thought, my nan's getting old. I've come back more or less, really, just to be near her. You know, she lives about a mile from here.
Yeah.
But that's the biggest change. People growing old, and it's, you just think.
Yeah.
It's
because nice. I mean, I was very close to my gran. She died 2014, and I remember being a kid, even being like my early 20s and seeing my gran, because my gran was quite ill, and like being round her house and thinking, I've always done this, I've always come round to my grandma's pretty much every day, sat and had dinner and all that, and in the back of my head I go, what will it be like when grandma's not here anymore, like we'll still do that and that. And it is, it's not a thing. Like she died and the family kind of split apart and stuff. My uncle still lives there. But I just, like, I want to try and, like, hold on to things there. Like you say, like, her house, my uncle lived there with her. And then when my gran died, they were trying to, like, kick my uncle out and give him, like, a cottage flat or something like that. And my uncle went to the papers and that was like, this is my home. It's been my home for years. Like, you know, this is where I want to stay. And yeah. We all got behind because we were like, yeah, we don't want to lose. Yeah, we've lost my gran. We don't want to lose her house now. Because
that would be a massive change. Like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was the house. Like, I'm dead close, like I say, to my grandparents, like you are. Like, you know, I that was my first house that I lived in. Like, I lived there till I was about three. Like, yeah, you get it's crazy, isn't it? You get so attached to things. And when one little thing changes, it's not just that one change. It's the events that then changes, like my grand dying then means that, like, I don't really see my aunties anymore, or we don't really, the family's a bit separated and that, and that's a shit change, like.
Yeah, but I suppose as you get older, that's when you can sort of reflect on your life, innit, and think that at least you've done something. And the shit that you've done and the shit that we've done, it's always going to be there, do you know what I mean? People are always going to remember you, so at least we've all, you know, very fortunate enough to be able to make a stamp on people around his life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, my biggest fear growing up was that I was not going to do anything with my life. Do you know what I mean?
Mm, yeah.
So, you know, I speak to my grandparents, I speak to my nan, and
are they super proud of you?
Yeah, they're proud of me, but you know what I mean? Like, you speak to older people and they think, oh, and they're always unfulfilled with their life. You know what I mean? Like, and this is going to sound weird, but I always go to my nan's old house. Like, I don't know who lives there now.
Mm.
But so I always go for a walk and I go and have a look at it.
Yeah.
If they're listening to this, probably not, because I'm not sure who they are. They may be.
Yeah,
Don't be worried about the big fellow looking at your house. it's only me. Do you know what I mean? I'm very... I get very nostalgic. I reminisce all the time.
That's good, though.
When I'm with my friends, we talk about back in the day all the time. Do you remember this? Yeah. Oh, do you remember that?
You can sit for hours, can't you?
Every day. Yeah. The same stuff every day. Oh, I remember when you did this.
But then that's exciting, the shit that you're still doing today. And like you said, with the weekend that you've just had in Chef.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that in 10 years, you'll be talking about that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
we were talking about that, saying, yeah, like, we're always talking about back in the day.
Yeah.
Well, this will be back in the day. Before you know
it. Yeah, you're always doing like exciting shit, always.
Yeah, like you said then, at like, you wish you could go back to being 14, you know, to be in school and all that. But then, like, I do that. So I go, oh, I wish I could be back 14. And then some days I'll go, oh, I wish I was 18 again. And, like, remember that weekend we went to Blackpool? And do you know what I mean? You constantly, you don't realise, like, how good life is until, say, it's 5 years down the line. Yeah.
You're quite lucky that you don't drink alcohol, so you can remember it all.
Clear recollections.
I always say that I'm constantly making memories that I can't remember. I know for a fact that when I went to Blackpool 3 years ago, I know I had a fucking sick night. Can't remember what I did. I ain't got a clue.
Yeah.
I don't know what I've done.
But people talk about that. So going back to drink, people say, you know, like drunken one night stands, for example.
Mm-hmm.
They're very overrated. People say,
what, one night stands are overrated?
Drunken
one. Because what's the point? You can't remember it.
Yeah, no, that's true.
That's very true.
Is the I call it the final feeling. If you're that drunk, you can't remember feeling. It. Yeah. Is it there, like, and if you're that drunk, I think being drunk is overrated, because how can you remember if you can't remember it? What's the point?
Yeah, that's true. It depends on it how
getting married.
Drunk.
You just said you had a great night, but did you have a great night? Because you don't remember it. Was it?
Yeah, that's it. All I remember is like being sick in a cave and probably having a fight with someone.
The only thing you remember is the first few hours or that you went out. So was it a great night? You're not even sure, really.
And then the hours were brilliant, but
then stinking hangover.
But do you remember anything? When you're that drunk, do you remember anything?
No, you don't. You don't remember a lot of it. You sort of like, you get little snippets of what's happened. And so it'd be good to have you, one, as a mate.
Storyteller.
One, storyteller. Two, you can drive. So you designate.
I can't drive.
Oh, you
don't
have a license? No. I don't want to be your mate then.
he hates me because I don't drive as well.
People always say that to me. Like,
why? They should all have a whip.
You don't drink, so you should be driving. But
you get loads more beards if you drive.
I'm useless.
You get more beards if you drive. It's fact.
David's doing all right. Yeah. Fair, yeah.
With women, I'm underrated.
You're underrated with women. I think women love you, don't they?
Yeah, I know, but I'm still underrated with them.
But you want more?
No, I don't want them. You know what? In life, who in life don't want to be wanted? Well, you know what I mean?
You're right, man. Yeah. I mean, I think we're all sort of like searching for that, I guess.
I went for a long period in my time where I was using my pecker to be loved.
That's pretty deep, that, mate.
I just wanted. That's another great quote. Yeah, this is me, Pecker, to get loved.
Yeah, this is David Allen.
So what do you mean? So, like, what, you know, without getting like fucking Freudian and deep and that, like, what do
it's
you
like,
mean?
It's like women, you know, women who throw themselves about, throw their bodies about, and they're just looking to be loved, aren't they? But I always say, like, we have to do what we have to do what makes us happy first and foremost.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Be that right or wrong. That is what we will do as human beings. And that's human nature. That is what we will do, yeah. And if that is deemed a mistake,
yeah, of course, yeah. Sorry,
everything that we do is up to us. Like, we're only told, we've been brought up being told what's right and wrong.
Yeah.
You know, but what really is right and wrong? What is right and wrong? If we're gonna get really deep, like, what is right and what is wrong? Really,
yeah,
we're told that murdering people is wrong, and obviously, it probably is wrong. To be fair,
yeah, it's pretty wrong.
But thousands of years ago, it just happened day in, day out. And nothing happened.
Again, this
normality. Like, yeah. we are told what to do and what not to do, and when to eat, when to go to sleep. It's dark now, we go to sleep.
Yeah.
Maybe we should be sleeping in the daytime. Maybe we're doing this wrong. Yeah. All wrong.
Yeah, you never know.
Anything like, obviously, murdering there, I feel like I may have gone a bit extreme.
No, but I think you're shout, right, because
in terms of what's right and wrong, like, who's the judge of that, I don't know.
Well, I mean, like you say, like, you know, murder is wrong, obviously. Probably, don't go doing it, guys.
Yeah.
But why is it okay for... I mean, why is it, you know, in that sense, yeah, obviously, I'm never going to murder anyone. And nor should anyone who's listening. But then why is it okay for Donald Trump to order a bomb strike on a town in Syria or something like that? Why is that murder okay? For whatever reason, even if he's getting the terrorists or he's getting the whoever, why is that right? And do you know what I mean? Like, it's a weird situation. Yeah,
it's crazy. Obviously, we're way off track now, but
it's fine, mate. This is how it goes.
All these airstrikes and all these kids being killed.
It's horrible.
If this was happening in Wivenshaw, in Doncaster, in Grimsby, it'd be front page news, and it'd be breaking BBC news. The telly would turn itself on to tell us about it.
Well, it was sadly front page news when it started, and now it's
day in day out, doesn't it?
Exactly. That it's typical day in day out, and it's fucking so sad that.
But it's the world is changing. Again, going back to the subject, it's changing in such a fucking bizarre way.
Well, I mean, yeah and no. It's always been that way, I guess.
Yeah,
you know,
it's changing,
I mean, obviously
in a bizarre
now,
way, but also there's good change happening. You know what I mean? Every day there is good things happening.
People are a bit more aware of it, I think. People are a bit more kind of against it now. Like, if you can imagine, you know, back even, like, say, World War II or whatever, you know, you had the Nazis flying over here bombing us, and then us flying over there bombing them and that. And I can imagine...
And that.
Well, no, just flying over there and that. But, like, at the time, you would have, you know, people in the street singing, "Who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler?" All that. Like it was celebrated. When you think about it, it's like London's getting blown up. Not army barracks. London.
Yeah,
schools. Hospitals. The public. That's happening in Germany as well. Not Nazis.
Yeah, of course.
Schools.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I think nowadays we people are a bit more awake to it, and they're going, "Hang about, we're not just blowing up, you know, ISIS compounds. ISIS compounds. We're blowing up schools, hospitals, actual people. Like, have you ever seen that picture where it's like, is it Syria kind of 20 years ago and Syria now?
Yeah.
And it's like, Syria 20 years ago looked beautiful, like really nice sort of town, city, whatever.
All inclusive hotels and stuff.
Possibly,
yeah,
man. Like,
it was over there opening Premier League.
But no, it's the world is changing. But I mean, for the good.
Hopefully.
Good and bad.
Yeah, of course.
And people always say, like, obviously you're brought up in Grimsby, I'm brought up in Doncaster. We say, oh, it's fucking rough there.
Yeah.
People always say to me, like, what kind of childhood did you have? And I said, well, it weren't great in terms of being brought up in. With some of my friends, I'd all sort of big house and whatever.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? Thank God I weren't brought up in Syria or
yeah,
Africa.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I said,
yeah,
every day.
Yeah,
I slept in bed every night.
And it's what you know as well, isn't it, man? Like, you know, Tomo's dad used to scare him when he was younger that if he was naughty, he'd send him to live in Wivenshaw.
Yeah.
And I grew up there and I fucking love it. Do you know what I mean? So it's
but that's, we are all fortunate to have the upbringings that we are, aren't we? Like, yeah.
I'll tell you what else is overrated.
Go on.
Underrated.
What's underrated? So for the first time on Overrated Everything, we're discussing something that's underrated.
Underrated is the fact that we get to sleep in the bed every night in the house. I'll tell you something, what is on the up in Doncaster at the minute, homelessness is unbelievable.
Yeah. Man.
Every street corner, there's two or three of them. And I just think it's underrated the fact that we I think a lot of us take it for granted. I get into bed every night and I don't give it any thought, but
yeah.
Homelessness now, like we're talking about the world and how it's getting better and how fortunate we are, then you just think there's fucking homelessness.
There's still a lot
in Britain in 2018. How can people be homeless in 2018 in Britain, England?
In one of the world's richest countries.
And there's homeless people all over the gaff in Doncaster. I don't know how it is.
Same, yeah, Manchester's exactly the same. There's a big spice epidemic there now.
That's the problem, that's the problem. Doncaster market, where market is, like zombies all over.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. It's really sad, isn't it? I mean, it's like you say, there's no denying that we do appreciate the nice things that we've got in life. Yeah. But I think sometimes you do sort of forget how very, very lucky we are.
Yeah.
And especially when you go to places like, I don't know, I've been over to Cuba on holiday. You know, people over there haven't really got much, but they are so appreciative of what they have got.
Yeah.
And they're happy. And, you know, it's just such a bizarre thing that, yeah, bringing up the homelessness, it's becoming such a bad thing, isn't it?
I've seen tents now in London, walking down Tottenham Court Road in London. There's I think it's outside like Habitat. There's like about four or five tents set up. The only other place I've seen that in my life is in LA in the States. Like, it's crazy. I've never seen, like, you've seen homeless people and stuff like that, but now it's got to the point where, by the look of it, they can't even get into what they call like hostels.
Yeah.
They're asleep on the street in tents. Like, that's crazy.
I wonder what a tent's going. A tent must be going for a bit of money down there, though.
Yeah, well, I think there's charities and that.
We should just head to Leeds Festival at the end of the weekend.
Well, I think there is a charity that does that.
If
charity
I was homeless, me, like, the sad thing about it is the first thing I ask people say, like, I was talking to a friend and we want to do something with it in Doncaster, like homeless. We were trying to get involved with something.
Nice, man. Yeah.
We want to get involved with something like that and. The first he said to me, he said, "What would you do if you was homeless?" I said, "To be honest, I'd get myself locked up somehow, some way. I'd get myself locked up."
I've often thought that, yeah, but then
nice and warm, and that's the problem. That's what they do. Because our thoughts are all the same. They're thinking, "Let's commit a crime and get locked up."
Yeah, then you go to jail.
Three meals a day, and you're in a nice warm cell.
But then I have
sad reality.
Homeless people and thought, why aren't they doing that then? What, you know. There must be something there in being a bit free as well. I've done work in the past where I've spoke to homeless people and
you know
some of them don't even go to the hostels and that at night. Like they want to be on the streets, but they're like, this is me now. This is I'd prefer to be here. I don't want to be told what to do by a hostel. I don't want to be told I have to be in at this time and out at that time. Like they're still their own people, do you know what I mean?
And alcohol and drugs as well is a big factor of it.
Yeah.
I don't give money to the homeless.
You'd rather get them a Greggs or...
Yeah,
always buy them food.
I would stress to people listening to this, don't give them money. Because you become part of the problem. In helping, you become part of the problem.
But then there's the argument. A friend of mine said it to me once and I was like, because I'm the same. Like if I go to McDonald's and that, especially if I'm on like a night out, if I go to McDonald's and there's a homeless person outside, like, I will, you know, get them, like, a burger and chips and that. Like, you know, it's 2 quid, 3 quid to me. It's fucking them eating all night to them.
Yeah.
But one of my mates said to me, he's like, why not give them money? And I was like, but because they might spend it on drugs. And you're like, so? They're grown people. Let them make their own... And I get it to an extent. He's like, you know, it's up to them what they spend their money on.
But then you're, like Dave just said, then you're then funding the problem, right?
Yeah,
no, I get it. I'm just saying, you know. But I remember I was walking through town with my dad. My dad's pretty old school. And I was walking through Manchester with him a couple of years back now. I think we went to watch the wrestling at the MBN. And we walked past a couple of homeless people and they were smoking somewhere. I think it might have been Spice or whatever. And my dad was just like, oh, bloody disgusting, that, innit? And I was like, what? And he was like, just on drugs. And I just kind of looked at me and I went, wouldn't you though?
Like, if that was if that was your only kind of warmth of a night, it was like, don't look down your nose at them doing drugs. Look, you know, look past that and go, look at this poor fucking guy who's on the streets, freezing cold, and his only enjoyment out of life is having a bit of, you know.
Some people have bad experiences. I had a bad experience with a homeless man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was outside Doncaster train station. I'd be about 16, 17. And he'd asked me for 40p every day.
Yeah.
And I said no. He was a really big fella. He was trying to intimidate everybody. And then the bus fare went up from 40p to 50p. So I think I used to go to the train every day to the gym when I started boxing. I was going to Sheffield every day. And then one day I thought, you know what? I said 40p. I said you're 35. I said you look about 35 years fucking old. I said you ain't getting on no bus for 40p. Yeah. First of all, you know what I mean? Like, how are you getting on bus for 40p? Yeah. Secondly, it's 50p now. Anyway.
So he's not going for the bus.
I said to him, you ain't going for the bus. And he was like, oh, and he got really upset. And you could just see he was just that he just wanted it that badly to go and score his drugs and that. It's so sad, but at the same time, I couldn't be part of that. I couldn't be part give him any money. I couldn't be part of that, him going to carry on doing what he's doing, but someone else is going to anyway.
It's an illness, though, isn't it? Like, addiction is an illness.
I've been addicted to gambling. Mm. I've been addicted to probably masturbation as well. You know what I mean? Like, as truthful as it is, you're addicted to sexual goings on.
And
people won't put their nose up at that. If I said to you now, I'm addicted to gambling. If a man said to you, I'm addicted to gambling, you'd say, oh, mate, like, oh, that's...
But sometimes you'd laugh, laugh it off.
The first one you laugh at, oh, I'm addicted to sex, you go, oh, all right.
Addicted to
gambling, you say, fucking hell, mate, I know I am as well. All men now between 18 and 30, we've all got a little problem somewhere. But if I said to you, I'm a drug addict, you'd say, that's fucking disgusting.
It's fucking so right.
Or,
you know...
Or alcohol. Do anything once. That's why I won't drink. I would never take a drug. It only takes one night to become addicted to something.
Yeah.
That's it. It takes one good experience for someone to make you go, right, okay, I'm having that. That's amazing.
Same with anything. It's like, you know, people say, oh, fucking let's bring anything to sex, but you have sex one time. If you get chlamydia, I said I had chlamydia once early and you laughed at it. And if I said I had unprotected sex and I got chlamydia, you'd laugh at it. If I said I had unprotected sex once and I got AIDS, I'm the most disgusting man in the world. It's the same argument again.
It's the same.
And addicted to gambling, addicted to drugs, it's anything like it. It's all addiction.
It's an illness, and like you say, people can look at people on the streets and go, "Oh, look at the state of that." And it's like, the thing is they need help. Like what you're saying, they need help from people like you who will go out of the way and try and help them, and like you buying them a burger and that sort of thing is helping. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it. And a lot of the charities do say, don't give people change on the streets. You know, give to the charities themselves. You know what I mean? And it's right. Like, or buy them food. Because you do just become part of that vicious circle, don't you? If you give them money, it possibly might go on alcohol or drugs. You know, you can't say it definitely will, but it possibly will. But it is a sad reality of the world, isn't it, nowadays? But then,
it's changing, isn't it? Things are slowly changing.
That is another change. Like, the world's becoming, for me, it's becoming, I think it's becoming a worse place. I think as I get older, I think social media's a big part of it. We're growing up in an era now where, like, I worry, I ain't got kids yet, but I worry about my kids growing up.
Yeah.
I just think, what's the world like in 20 years' time?
Yeah. Do you reckon that's us? And that's because the world is genuinely getting a bit shit. Or do you reckon our mums and dads at 26, 28 thought the same? Because you do have such a good time when you're in your teens and your early 20s. You do. You know, you have the best time of your life. And then you get to sort of your mid-20s and you start to settle down and you start to ponder things. Is that just a natural thing? Did your mum and dad in the, say, the 90s, when they were around that age, think, oh, fucking hell, like, all these kids have got... you know, Game Boys, they're just looking down at that, and what they're going to do, they're all sat in front of Nickelodeon and all. Do you know what I mean? Is that a natural part of life, or...
I don't know, I think if we look statistically, I think crime, I think everything bad is on the rise.
Yeah.
I think, and I'm not sure, I don't know, you know, I'm not up to date with any all that kind of stuff, but
yeah,
I'm just thinking the kind of change I'm talking about, like obviously I'm talking about Claire out of my wife and kids.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm also talking about like just the world's changing. And like I say, whether it's just because we're getting a bit older and we're starting to think, fucking hell, we're old now, but
yeah,
like the world's changing. I don't like it.
It's becoming like us worrying about the changes, us growing up, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Because you are, when you're a kid, you might see it in the news that something's happening, you're like, oh fuck this, I ain't care whether Rooney's scoring a hat trick on the weekend.
Yeah, but that's
maybe I think social media is another thing, because we're seeing everything. These videos about kids getting beat up and bullied.
We used to share them.
That's been going on since years ago. We're seeing it every day now, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Happy slapping.
Even like you say, like there was like videos in my school when we were kids. I remember, you know, we all got stop searched and that once because there was a video of like one of the girls in our year like having sex. Went around the school and, you know, disgusting. And like you say, that happens all the time now, it seems, in the media. But it did happen when we were younger as well.
It's just social media's got just give it that fucking platform.
Is social media overrated or underrated? What is it, social media?
It's
what
a tough
is
one,
it?
Isn't it?
I don't know. I think social media's brilliant for some stuff. See, yeah. If your lawnmower gets nicked, you're going to fucking find it.
Yeah, exactly.
Media.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, it's spreading a terrible message and all sorts of terrible stuff.
Because the thing is they say, like you just touched on there, like, you know, the world seems to be changing. There always seems to be bad things happening. Them bad things have always probably been happening. You just didn't hear about them as much back in the day because you had BBC News at 10 and that was it. And before that, you had a newspaper that was printed every morning. You had teletext. You know, nowadays, if there is a natural disaster or a terrorist attack or anything,
you get notifications.
You know about it. Yeah, you've got a notification on your phone. You jump on Twitter. People are talking about it live. You're watching videos of it live, which is fucking horrible and daunting. So has the world changed? Is it getting worse, or has it always been bad? But we just through social media, we just now know about it as soon as it happens. Do you know what I mean? I think you know, 30, 40 years ago, when the only kind of proper news that you got was, like say, the telly, or a lot of people read newspapers. You know, them newspapers, one, have an agenda, two, you know, especially back in the day, probably, you know, quietened it down a bit. So if there was like a big terrorist attack or something like that, I think maybe back in the day it was a bit more like, okay, so this has happened, that's happened. You know, when, say, the Manchester bomb happened, for instance, you know, people were sharing fake images online of horrible things, then real images and video. Like, it's, you're just unprotected from that horrible darkness of the world a little bit more now, I think.
Yeah.
Which is
scary. And like what Dave said, it's like, having kids, it's a scary, scary thought, isn't it?
With my little girl's 4, and like say, when I was a kid, I never used to, the news would be on, whatever, and you never took notice of it because it was your mum and dad's programme or your grandma's programme, it was just the news. But I put the news, like the news will come on now at what, 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock news, I'll be having dinner and it might just flick through and it'll come on. I can't keep it on because it's too dark for my 4-year-old kid to be watching at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I don't watch the news.
No.
That's scary.
No. Yeah, I've stopped watching it more and more.
And there's never any good news.
No, never. Local news, like a random dog's fucking save someone's
life. Yeah.
That's it. Local news could be really good, can't it? Which is nice.
I love local news. Look North for me.
Yeah. We've got.
I won't watch the BBC News at 10. Someone died.
There's always been something. And then, like you said before, just, you know, touch on, like, are we worrying about it a bit more now because we're older? And I genuinely think, right, like this Brexit shit.
Yeah.
I get bits of it. I don't get a lot of it. Like, it's just a bit confusing.
Brexit's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's all a conspiracy.
But the thing is, though, is now I'm 28 and I'm watching the news and I'm listening out for Brexit and stuff just because I'm like, right, how will this affect me? Yeah. I think if I was 18 years old and we were going through all this, I'd be like, fuck it, I'm not bothered about Brexit. I'm still going to go out with my mates and have a good time. Still going to go to the pub. But now you get old and you go, you know, I'm looking at it going, well, my price of my pint's going to go up. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, or you know, or even serious, like, bird, obviously serious stuff's going to fucking
bird flu shit me up, though.
Bird flu was scary.
I remember being about, like, 15, laying there, like, my mum took him, you know, not even, she used to took me until I was at least 17.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, a little peck on the cheek and that. And I said to her, I remember saying to her, I was
laying back there trying to do an impression of what I was doing in bed.
I was like this.
Great
was,
for us, but shit for podcasts.
So I was laid back and I was like, you know, this bird flu, like, is it real? And she went, you know, she said, a little focus. She went, yeah.
Good night.
And I was lay there for about an hour thinking, oh my God, the whole world's going to die. This fucking bird's going to kill us. I genuinely thought we were going to kill us
all.
Yeah, that's what happened when you watch the news at 15.
Yeah,
it does scare
me. I remember back in the day, there was, what's his name? Nostradamus. Nostradamus is the brilliant album by Nas. Nostradamus, and my mum was saying, I remember my mum's a big warrior, and she was saying, oh yeah, this is the day, I think it was in like 1999 or somewhere around there, that the world was supposed to end. This Nostradamus had predicted it hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and 2012 won it as well.
Yeah.
It's gonna end. And I remember getting dead worried as a kid, and same thing.
Yeah.
I asked my mum, and because my mum's such a worry, she was like, I don't think so. Yeah. And like we sat up all night pretty much. I was like nine.
I just
sat up all night watching, like waiting for the fucking world to end.
I just love the idea of you later, man. They're just going, yeah, it's gonna happen. Nine, love you.
I was a proper warrior as a kid. Proper warrior.
Yeah.
Talking like 10, 11, just like, you know, when I knew, like, just to check myself a lump. I mean, I was obsessed.
But that's a good thing, though.
That's a good thing.
I was obsessed.
Yeah.
I was there running my fingers down my chest.
Is that how your masturbation?
Oh, I look like some bird in one of them fucking solo masturbation videos. Just like, rubbing my chest about 10 minutes. I get all of my balls and that, and I'd just be like,
worrying too much is obviously a bad thing, and that can lead to, you know, itself. It can lead to mental health problems and things like that.
I've diagnosed myself with fucking AIDS 100 times.
Do you reckon as well?
Yeah, I'm a bit like that. If I have a cold, I genuinely think, like, fucking hell, this is my time.
Without sounding like, you know, whatever, like, you know, that is a very man thing. Because, like, my missus, she can get up and she can have an headache and she can carry on doing stuff. Sometimes it'll, you know, knock a day and that. But I'm like, are you all right? Do you want to go to the doctors? Do you want to get this? Do you want some this? Do you want some painkillers? She's like, it's all right, I've got an headache. When I get an headache, I've got a brain tumour.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah. I'm like, fucking hell, I've got this, I've got that. She's like, you've got an headache. I've got, like, a lump on the back of my head here. And I'm feeling, going, babe, what's that? What's that? Gee, what is it? And she's like, it's a mole. I'm like, a mole? What? She's like, don't worry, you're all right, dickhead.
But again, like, the whole masculinity of men, innit? We're all like, we always worry too much, but I don't know. But I think that's probably a good time to.
Yeah, we can wrap that in now. It's been an hour and three. So that's, mate, honestly, Ed, a really nice chat, David.
Yeah,
thank you very
we've got
much.
A bit serious now.
Yeah, got
but
a bit
that's
deep,
it, man.
It,
it's nice to do. It's nice to do. And it's. Yeah, it's been a pleasure chatting with you.
I really nice enjoyed one, that. Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, that for me went differently to how I thought it'd go, and it went differently to how I thought it'd go pre-meeting him, and then it went differently to how I thought it'd go halfway through, because and you listen back again, guys, to get this if you want, and it puts the listens up. Like, at the beginning, because we'd only just met him, he was quite laddish, and he's quite you know chatting and that, and mint, and you see that side of him. But then I think with his subject, the chat got deep.
Yeah, it got very deep, and it was nice to see that side of him you know, a lot of people might not have seen. If you follow Dave on Instagram, he does a lot of live streams with his fans.
Yeah.
And he's such a fan-orientated boxer, and he's grateful for where he is. And, you know, it just goes to show that if... I mean, he's openly says that he's not a hard worker. But
I mean, he says that in this as well. He just wants to do now.
He just wants to do nothing, which, you know, at least he's not openly pretending to be someone else. He's always been himself, and that's all he will ever be. And I, with the things that he was saying, I think he's planning himself. A next couple of years are going to be massive for him.
Yeah, I think he says, doesn't he, like he wants to kind of these next 2 years, like really push it, which, you know, all the fucking best to him, man. Like,
and I think if he puts in the hard work, he can fly, man, and I think he will. I think he will fly.
Yeah?
And yeah, I think, yeah, like I say, it's going to be a next, the next couple of years for him is going to be big.
And fair do, man, because again, like you say, you know, like I say, meeting him, and because I'd only ever really heard you talk about him, prior to meeting him and that, and when, you know, like I say, when we started chatting, I was like, oh, right, this podcast is going to be a laugh. This podcast is going to be laugh.
And
laugh.
It was,
but then it got really nice for me at the end, because I like that. I like getting quite deep, and it got to a
I've
nice.
I've seen what you're packing, mate. You ain't getting deep. No matter how hard you try.
When have you seen what I'm bloody packing? But yeah, no, and it got really nice, and I loved that because it, like you say, it's showing a different side to this heavyweight boxer, who, you know, online and on Instagram, etc. He's built up this sort of almost character of himself.
No, but that's the thing. I think he's
well. No, it's not a character.
He's not a character,
it's him.
That's
innit?
Who he is.
Yeah, that's him. That's him. Yeah.
He's not a different guy.
No, yeah, you're right. Maybe character is wrong phrase there, but he's built this. He's built himself online, and he's he's quite sort of funny and stuff like that. But then everyone's three dimensional. It was nice to sit down and then hearing him talk about
growing
his
up.
Genuine worries about growing up and about like his grandparents. That touched me because, like I said, you know, I lost my gran. I say recently, it was like nearly 5 years ago now, so it's not. Kind of recent, but she was a big part of my life. Like he's saying about his grandparents, a big part of his. So it was really nice to hear that. It was really nice to hear a big hard bloke get soft.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah,
and I nice. Love that. And that's the
I mean,
beauty
he's not
of
hard.
People. You know, well, I mean, are you going for round? Are you going to go for round two?
Yeah, I'll do him any day. Service station.
David, if you've heard that, which I hope you have, please come and just knock him out for me. And then come and host the podcast if you want, because we got on like an house on fire.
It was really good. And again, we're just grateful for everyone that's listening and, you know, donating to the Patreon and leaving reviews. And yeah, just thanks again, and we'll see you again next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.